Indigo Girls, welcome back to the Sunday Show.
Thanks.
Amy Ray and Emily Saliers, Indigo Girls, were with us just about a year ago. I took a look at my calendar, and what a year it has been for you two.
Yeah.
What were some of the highlights? What were some of the big moments looking back?
I think touring with R.E.M. was a big highlight.
Yeah.
For me, a big moment.
Well, getting the record finished and out was the first big highlight.
Sure.
That felt great.
Of course, but at that point, you don't know what you know now, which is how well it was received. I mean, that was...
Yeah.
I guess there's an air of anticipation and agony before those results are in, right?
There wasn't much agony. We were happy with the record as soon as it came out for our own purposes and likes. And we didn't care about sales or anything. We said if we sell 100,000, that'll be great. That'll be unbelievable. So it's just been kind of like a series of surprises, and things happen like the Grammys that we weren't really looking to at all to happen, and they happened anyway. So it's just been like that all year long.
Was there a moment in the course of the year where you could look at one another with a knowing look that comes from all of the years you've been working together and working toward this goal where you said, hey, we're here?
No.
Didn't happen?
No, because I think we felt like we were, right before we got signed, there was a large sort of buzz type thing in the industry, and we were getting recognized by our peers and stuff, and I think that's when we felt like we had arrived.
That's great.
You know, before we even got a record deal. So,
but
that's kind of what we felt.
How about those telltale signs on the road? You know, when you show up at a concert that a year ago might have been three quarters full, but now it's sold out with people clamoring to get in. Or you start the first couple of notes of a song that never got a response before until you had finished it, and people are already applauding just at the first few notes. Did those kinds of things happen to you?
They happened, but
yeah,
it was, I felt like that kind of, that stuff for me really happened a lot earlier. Because when we started playing on the road, we always played a certain size of place, so it was always sold out everywhere we played because of the way things worked. So it wasn't like, so early on is when it happened for me, like when we played clubs and there were three people, and then all of a sudden, 2 months down the road in Atlanta, we'd play a club and it'd be a line outside the door. That's when it, and that was way before, you know, any of this stuff. That was when I felt good about it.
I mean, we don't really base our success on anything besides, like, personal happiness, and at the end of the night after each show, the dynamics of a show are different every night, and after the show's over, we feel really good, and that's what it's all about, when we feel like there's really been a give and take and a lot of communication with people who've come to hear the music. It's just, there's nothing like that, and that's, to us, what success is and happiness, so.
Your audience now is larger, of course, than it has ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain demands and pressures that go along with that. Are you feeling any of that as well, or is it under control?
It's under control.
Yeah, definitely under control. I feel so fortunate. I have no complaints.
You mentioned the Grammys earlier. I want to hear all about that night. What was it like for you? What were the moments that you take with you now a couple of months later?
First thing I remember is being in the makeup room and having the hairdresser go, so what are you going to wear tonight? And I was like, well, this is it. The biggest thrill for me was hearing Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder perform. The biggest thrill, and to have Bonnie Raitt sweep her categories, because I'm a big fan of hers. I just thought it was really, the show was put together well, and to hear some of my idols perform was really powerful. Besides that, it was, you know, it was nothing more than that to me.
Amy, how about you?
Oh, it was a great concert. That's the way I looked at it, too. After, like, the first 15 minutes in the dressing room where, like, Kris Kristofferson and Meryl Streep or whoever's in there, you kind of, like, nothing really surprises you anymore. So I sort of concentrated on the music during the show because, I mean, there was, like, so much stuff to listen to.
Sure.
But you got to talk to Dwight Yoakam about Corvettes.
That was fun, yeah. Yeah, and then got to go to a really good club the next night, the China Club, and hear Bonnie Raitt and Ray Charles and Sting and Bruce Hornsby and a guy from Little Feat and just all these musicians jam, and it was like, and Lou Reed and Ricky Lee Jones, you know, that was the big highlight for me, actually, of the weekend, was getting to go to that club and see all these great musicians just play.
Did you get a sense that they were as aware of your work as you are of theirs?
No.
Not yet.
No, I don't think any of it, no.
That'll happen.
I don't even think Bonnie Raitt's heard us. I don't think.
No, I don't think she
introduced herself, but I don't think she's really heard us.
She was nice, though. So.
You were nominated in two categories. One was a disaster era, I have to say.
Which was that?
That was that new artist category, which had nominees from Venus, Mars, Saturn, and Earth. And some interplanetary judger had to make this decision. I mean, it just seemed like a crazy category.
It always is, though. Every year it's a crazy category when you think about it.
It's kind
of the kiss of death if you win that.
So I'm assuming you weren't too disappointed when the envelope did not reveal your names in that one.
We never expected to win that.
No,
we never expected to get nominations.
I think we were both rooting for Soul to Soul in that category,
yeah.
too. So, I mean, actually, out of all those people, that was...
Yeah, they're great.
How about the one that you did win, which was in the contemporary folk category?
Yeah.
Did you think you had a chance in that one, and how did it feel?
I thought maybe we had a chance.
Chance. Just because we fit into the category.
Well, we still didn't know for sure because we were excited when it happened. We were standing backstage. They said, you girls should wait here just a second because your category is up. And we were like, oh, okay. And we were watching the TV screen, and then they announced our names, and we were excited.
Do you get two Grammys, or do you have to share one?
They mail them to you.
They give you a pseudo Grammy to hold.
Well, I see. What, have you decided on a place for your Grammy yet?
Mine's on the shelf too. Yeah.
On the shelf back home.
Yeah.
Just a reminder of some of the good things that have happened to Indigo Girls in the last year. One thing that happened was a re-release of your first album, the one you did on your own label, sort of, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have input into that? Are you happy with that decision?
The re-release.
The re-release.
Oh yeah, it was a sentimental thing for us to do that. The album is not, I mean, it's not like a brilliant album or anything.
We just, Epic wanted to have it, and we said, well, you can have it as long as you promise to put it out. And so they, you know, in good faith put it out. And it was kind of, in a way, it kind of bridged the gap between first album and second album of brand new material.
Right. The name of the album was Strange Fire. Anything you can tell us about that particular song or why it turned up as the title?
I wrote that song when I had watched a show where Jimmy Swaggart was preaching, and he had said something in reference to a Bible verse, and I didn't agree with what he said. And basically, the gist of the song is that you don't have to go through a preacher to get to God, or you don't have to be authorized to pray or to whatever your God is, and that God is inside you. And that the whole idea of spirituality is supposed to be love, but we've sort of bastardized it with
diluted
the institution.
It. Yeah.
So it's a message song, you know, about like loving yourself and loving the earth and all that stuff.
Let's listen to Strange Fire at 92.3 K-Rock.